The question, can we trust the Bible regarding its inspiration? You know, what would you consider to be the world's best-selling book of all time? You know, books and authors come and go. Some really good books become bestsellers. Some sell millions of copies and are popular for a very long period of time. According to Wikipedia, you can see that A Tale of Two Cities sold 200 million copies. The Lord of the Rings, 150 million copies. The Little Prince, 140 million copies. And if you look at a series of books like Harry Potter, it sold 450 million copies. But you know what book was missing in that list? Well, the Bible was missing in that list. And we can look at, there's estimates of the Bible being, there's 6 billion copies printed and over 25 million sold annually. It's in 1,185 translations into other languages. It was printed for the first time in 1454 by Gutenberg. It was first translated into English in 1382 by John Wycliffe. It was written between 1450 B.C. to 100 A.D. So why is the Bible not listed as the world's most popular books? Well, let me read a couple of things that I found. And this is from an atheist site, but it gives you some insight into why the world doesn't view it that way. One point they made, it was only an estimate. Another point that was made was it's not all are sold for money. A third point was not all copies are read, and almost none read cover to cover. I'm going to read a little bit of this, and I want you to consider the thoughts that are being made. If we turn our attention to a modern novel, it would be a bizarre and ludicrous experience to only read a few pages in the middle and ignore the rest. And remember all those abandoned copies of the Bible that lie in bedroom drawers in hotels across the country, which are never read and rarely ever seen by a living creature. The same story goes for hundreds of Bibles locked in school teaching cupboards, which, if anything, are read even less, as the pupils almost invariably aren't interested in them. Now let us put this in context to Harry Potter books. Many people have not only read the entire series, but have read the series several times, and some own multiple copies of the books. All of this considered, the Bible must be one of the least read, least desired books in the world, as a ratio to the number of copies that exist. The number of people who want and own a Bible is far fewer than the number of Bibles. There's a ridiculous surplus of these books in the world. Other books with a similar number of readers don't have as many spare copies lying around. A couple of things to note from that. One is, what a wonderful thing it is to have a copy of God's Word in everyone's hand. Now that you can gather from that, from those statements. But how sad it is that some of those statements are true. So many people care nothing about what's written in the Bible, and it's on a coffee table, or it's tucked away somewhere. So let's consider why the Bible should be the most read and most desired book in the world. Okay? 3 points I'd like to make tonight. The unity of the Bible, the scientific foreknowledge of the Bible, and the fulfilled prophecies in the Bible. So, the Christian accepts as our canon the 66 books of the Bible, the 39 books of the Old Testament, and the 27 books of the New Testament. We view the Bible as inspired of God, literally God breathed, that His Scriptures were given by the Holy Spirit and are not simply the words of men. The Bible actually claims such inspiration. It speaks of Scripture inspired of God in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out or inspired of God by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It tells of men speaking as they were moved by the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It contains claims by those who spoke words revealed by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Think about that. The thoughts of God. How can we understand what God wants us to know? Well, we read that in the Bible. We see that in His Word, given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, how can we know that? Well, I just want to cover, you know, there's a lot of evidences in the Bible. And we could spend a series of lessons on this particular topic, but I want to cover it in three areas, the three that I mentioned earlier. But first, let's look at the unity of the Bible. The Bible contains 66 books. It was written over 1,600 year span, over a period of 40 generations, by approximately 40 authors from every walk of life. Moses, a political leader trained in the universities of Egypt. Peter, a fisherman. Amos, a herdsman. Joshua, a military general. Nehemiah, cupbearer to a king. Daniel, prime minister. Luke, a physician. Solomon, king. Matthew, a tax collector. Paul, a tent maker and rabbi. The list could go on. In different places, Moses in the wilderness, Jeremiah in a dungeon, Daniel on a hillside and in a palace, Paul inside prison walls, Luke while traveling, John in exile on the Isle of Patmos, others in the rigors of military campaign, at different times, David in times of war, Solomon in times of peace, during different moods, some writers from the heights of joy, others in the rigors of military campaign. On three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. In three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Which subject matter includes hundreds of controversial topics, such as the origin of man and the universe, the nature of God, the nature of sin and man's redemption, life after death, heaven and hell, and the list goes on. Yet, there's harmony and continuity throughout the Bible. The paradise lost of the book of Genesis becomes the paradise regained in Revelation. Whereas the gate to the tree of life is closed in Genesis, it is opened forevermore in Revelation. Gessler and Nix. Compare the continuity of the Bible with any other such writings of man. Imagine that we take a few of us, or a few, ten people from one walk of life, one generation, One place, one time, one mood, one continent, one language. Speaking on one controversial subject. Just one. You can imagine the conglomeration of ideas and the lack of harmony through that writing. Yet, we understand the reason for the unity in the Bible. The writers were all moved by the same Holy Spirit, providing evidence that the Bible is inspired of God. So let's, for a second, talk about the scientific knowledge of the Bible. And there's a long list of this as well. In the Bible, there are scientific truths. And these truths are unknown to man with all his wisdom and resources. The stated facts hundreds of years prior to its discovery. The writers of the Bible could have known these facts only through the inspiration that God gives them. They must have had divine help in understanding to write the things that they could not possibly have discovered during that time. Just a few examples. The roundness of the earth, we read in Isaiah 40 in verse 22, it is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. This particular fact is considered to be recent knowledge. Recent 1519 to 1520 by Ferdinand Magellan and Juan Sebastian and their explorations during that time frame. There are early philosophies regarding a round earth dating back to the 6th century. History books talked about a flat earth, but the Bible talks about a round earth. The suspense of the earth in space in Job 26 Verse 7, He stretches out the north over the void and hangs the earth on nothing. The earliest scientist to have understood this and come up with this was in around the 1500s. The currents in the sea, Psalms 8 and verse 8, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Matthew Murray, in 1806 to 1873, is commonly known as the father of oceanography. He was among the first to discover and chart systematic ocean currents. Murray claimed that his research was inspired by Psalms 8. What a wonderful place to go to discover things. The springs in the sea, Job 38, verse 16. You have entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep. I recently saw, and maybe you did too, I think it was on Discovery Channel. I'm terrible about names of TV shows, but this one was about the blue world or blue planet. And they took a submersible down to the depths of the ocean, 6,000 feet deep. Fascinating world. Caverns that are twice the size, at least that we know of, the Grand Canyon. They've uncovered springs in the ocean. What fascinated me most about this show was they found a lake in the bottom of the ocean. Think about that. A lake in the bottom of the ocean, a large lake in the bottom of the ocean, that's waves. I did say waves under the ocean, lapped up against the shore. And you think, how in the world is that possible? Well, it turns out it's a brine lake. What you're seeing is a picture that is completely underwater. But it looks as if you see a lake there. This is not really a coastline. It's actually underwater as well. But what you see is a lake here, of which Brine Lake, its density of salt is so much more dense in that location that there looks like there's a lake and it actually has waves that lap up against the shore. There's so much that man has not discovered about what's under the oceans. But as we read, the springs of the sea are walked in the recesses of the deep. Amazing. All nations of one blood in Acts 17 and verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places. Studies now have shown that all men have a common father and all women have a common mother. This is known as the Eve hypothesis. While there is still disagreement in the scientific community on this as fact, I would expect that sometime in the near future they will come to understand this better. These things that we see in the Bible, and there are many others that you can go and look at, of scientific discoveries that men have come upon later that there's no way that men in that time could have known except through inspiration by God. Then we turn our attention to the third point is the fulfillment of prophecy in the Bible. The prophecies foretold events in detail that were beyond the scope of human speculation. How did the writers or speakers do that? They attributed it to God. And God declared that such evidence was a proof of his existence and superiority over man and all heathen gods. In Isaiah, the 41st chapter, in verse 22, let them bring to them and tell us what is to happen. Tell us for the former things what they are, that we may consider them, that we may know their outcome, or declare to the things to come. Tell us what is to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Isaiah 42, 8 through 9. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. In Isaiah 46, 8 through 11. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind. You transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end before the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. We can look at many examples. We can look at the fall of Babylon, which was written 200 years before it occurred. We can look at the fall of Egypt, that it would be destroyed more by civil war than by outside forces. We can look at the fall of Nineveh with its utter desolation. Zephaniah 2, 13 through 15. Let me read that. Zephaniah 2, 13 through 15. And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. The herd shall lie down in her midst. Every beast of the nation, both the pelican and the bittern, shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be at the threshold, for he will lay bare the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none besides me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his fist. Nineveh was uncovered during the great archaeological excavations of the 19th century. Prior to this time, there was nothing really known of the great Assyrian Empire. And it was foretold by God that it would be a desolation. We read of the fall of Tyre. And then the many prophecies concerning our Christ. In Luke 24, 44 through 45, we read, Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, and they might comprehend the Scriptures. It has been stated there are 332 prophecies fulfilled in Christ. The mathematical probability that all could be fulfilled in one person by chance alone, 84 times 10 to the 123 power. That's a big number, isn't it? 84 times 10 to the 123rd power. There are prophecies by Christ, such as the destruction of Jerusalem, foretold in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, fulfilled in AD 70 when Rome destroyed Jerusalem. 3 points, and there's many, because this is only touching the hem of the garment. Volumes have been written on the subject. The only thing I wanted to do is summarize for you so that we can better understand that the Bible is the Word of God. How wonderful it is for us to have the Word of God at our fingertips. Because as we read, there's no way we can know what God's will is for us unless He reveal it through His Word. Another point that I'd like to make is God has the power, if we believe that He is the creator of the universe, that He created the recesses of the depths, that He created all the world that we see, He also has the power to preserve for us His Word so that we can know His will for us. And our job is to understand that so that we can be pleasing in His sight. We need to be like the Bereans who studied the Scriptures daily to find out what was being told them was true. So, bestseller of all time, is it a book that people ought to desire to read, to know? I don't know how to express in words the need for everyone to come to the realization, to come to that knowledge that God speaks to us, the Creator of the universe speaks to us through the words of this book. And how is it that we, as a people of this world, would say that it's not desired by mankind? It's not interesting. They don't want it. How is it that could be so? Let us not be one of those. Let us understand that this is the Word of God. Let us desire to understand it and to apply it to our lives every day.